1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's pray and ask God again to help us as we study this passage. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you work through your word as Jesus prayed to you, Father, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth, and we thank you that your word is truth. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would work in us by your Spirit, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. God, that you would let us hear from you today. We ask, oh God, you would convict us of sin. If there's any hatred in our hearts toward anyone, God, we pray that you would reveal that today. And God, you would help us to be better lovers of you, better lovers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, God, work by the power of your Spirit. Guard my heart and mind and mouth. Let me not say anything unhelpful, unbiblical, untrue, but all that is right and wise and biblical and humble and holy and righteous. Father, let us hear from you today, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. Colossians 3:12-14 says this, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So God the Holy Spirit names all these godly, holy characteristics that we should put on: kindness and humility and meekness and forgiving one another. But above all these, put on love. Put on love. And not only here, but in 1 Peter 4:8, the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Friends, the passage that we are looking at this morning deals with loving one another. Loving one another and running from hating one another. John Stott summarized this passage in these words: "Hatred characterizes the world." The world, those outside the church, those outside Christ, are characterized by hate. The main example this passage gives of the world's hatred is Cain. And so we get an example in this passage from the Old Testament. Cain, remember, killed Abel. And so he is our example of hatred in this passage. This worldly hatred originates in or comes from the devil. Yes, we believe there is a devil. We believe that he is real. We believe that he is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We believe he even uses things like temperature to get your mind off the message so that he can snatch you into hell. And we say, get behind me, Satan. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But this hatred originates in the devil, from the devil. And it results in murder. It results in murder. And you may say, well, Pastor, I've never murdered anybody. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. The last time you lost your temper, you murdered somebody. The last time you lost your temper, lost your patience with someone, and were angry, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you have murdered. And it's evidence, the evidence, this murderous heart is evidence of spiritual death. On the other hand, love characterizes the church. We are to be a people of love. We are to be a people of love. Our great example of love is Him who loved like no other. He who loved like no other, Jesus. He is our great example. And we must take Him as Savior before we take Him as our example. And this love originates or comes from God, and it results in self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. And it's evident. It's evidence of eternal life. When we love each other, this gives evidence that we are, in fact, born again. And so we'll look at these words together. First, notice in John, 1 John 3:10, you are shown evidence that you are children of God, not how to become children of God. Throughout this book, we are seeing evidences that you are a child of God, not instructions, per se, on how to become a child of God. And I want to make that very clear, because you go away from these sermons thinking, well, I got to do this and do that, and now the pastor is going to say, I got to love, or if I don't love enough, then I'm not going to be saved. Satan will make sure someone leaves today thinking the pastor taught, if I don't love enough, then I'm not going to be saved. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. John, by the Holy Spirit, is saying that an evidence that you have been saved, you have been born again, is that you will love. How do I know I'm one of God's? Because I love. I don't love to become one of God's children. I am God's child by faith alone in Christ alone, and therefore I will love. Because I'm a new creature. God dwells in me. And you see this in 1 John 3:10. By this it is evident. You see that? By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Friends, you know, we ought to know from the Scripture there are only two people in the world. There are only two children in the world. Those who are the children of God and those who are the children of the devil. Those are the only two categories. Those are the only two categories of people in the world. Either a child of God or a child of the devil. And so it doesn't matter how friendly someone is. It doesn't matter how kind they are. It doesn't matter how strongly they believe in their religion. If they don't trust Christ, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, the God-man, died on the cross, rose from the dead, then they are children of the devil. Muslims are children of the devil. If you're a Muslim here this morning, we're glad that you're here. I often run in the neighborhood and hand out tracts. And sometimes people will say, oh, no, thank you, I'm a Muslim. And I used to just say, oh, okay, have a good day. But now I say, we love Muslims to come. We want you to be here. Please, come and have lunch with us. We love to hang out with Muslims. And we do because we want them to be saved. We don't want them to continue it being children of the devil. We want them to become children of God through faith in Jesus. No, we don't worship the same God. No, we don't. Buddhists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, people that come to church but don't really know God, People, pastors who preach the gospel but don't know the one whom they preach about. They are all children of the devil. Doesn't matter how kind they are, how friendly they are, how many good deeds they do for people. They are children of the devil unless they know Jesus Christ by faith alone. Only two people. And so whose child are you? Whose child are you this morning? This book gives evidence of who you are, whose child you are. Or as some say, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? God is my daddy. Oh, Abba, Father, God is my daddy. And we want Him to be your daddy. We want Him to be your God. And these verses give evidence. What's evidence? Facts or truths that prove that something is true or false. Evidence are facts or truths that prove something is either true or false. And 1 John gives us many evidences, many facts or truths that can help us determine whether our profession of faith in Jesus Christ is true or false. And that's good, because Jesus said many will come, right? On the day of judgment, many will come and say, Lord, Lord, I've done miracles in Your name. I've cast out demons in Your name. I've preached it, brought an army in Your name. I've given food. I've taught Sunday school. I've been a pastor in Your name. And Jesus will look them in the face and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. So we ought to want to make our calling and election sure. And this book gives us evidences that we are actually Christ's. They are evidences. They are not ways to become children of God. They are evidences of who is a child of God. How do you become a child of God? I'm glad you asked. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't know Him personally and intimately, He is not your treasure, your all in all, you're living in sin and you know it, you know it, you know you're sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you don't care about it. You know that you're getting drunk on the weekend and you don't think God cares or knows. You know that you're cheating or stealing or lying. You know that you are addicted to pornography and you just don't care and you're not fighting this at all, but you just live it freely in sin and you don't care. You know that you had an abortion 6 months ago or a year ago, and you don't care about that. You know that you're living in sin. Friend, we have good news for you. We have good news for you at Only Baptist Church, that there is a Savior from sin. That if you're hearing this and saying, wow, that pastor is... If you're hearing this and you're not saying, wow, that pastor is very judgmental. You see, sinners who come to Christ, they don't think, oh, he's being so judgmental. What right does he have to judge me? Only God can judge me. God will judge you. God will judge you. Brother Joe Toy says that all the time at Broughton Olney when we preach. People like to say, only God can judge me. He will judge you. You're right. He will judge you. Someday, He will judge you. Someday, you and I and everyone will stand before a holy, righteous, good God. And you will give an account for every idle word, every thought, every deed, everything you've done in the dark that you think no one knows about, God will hold you accountable for. And friend, who will stand? Who will stand in that day? Who will stand? I won't stand. I won't stand in that day. You will not stand in that day. You, I, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Jesus, the righteous one, who never sinned, who always loved, who always obeyed, who was always pure, holy, humble, righteous, loving, and then died on that cross, suffered the wrath of God. What was that song we sang, How Great Thou Art? it takes your breath away when you think about what Jesus did for sinners who hate Him. Jesus died and was crushed by the judgment of God. He was buried. And 3 days later, boom! Boom! Trying to wake people up who are sleeping. Boom! He rose from the dead! He rose from the dead! He's alive! He's King! He's Lord! He rose from the grave! He conquered sin, conquered death, and conquered hell! And friend, today, if you will believe in Him, trust in Him, turn from your sins, He will forgive you of everything. Everything you've ever done. Everything cast into the depths of the ocean floor, and He will remember it no more. But you must come to Him. You must come. You must believe. You must trust Him. And so, no matter where you think you are today, believe Him. Believe. Trust Him. You're a Christian. Believe in Christ. Trust in Him. He will save. Friend, if that's new to you, if you've never heard the gospel before, if you're wondering about where you stand before God, I will be standing in the back afterwards. Come and speak with me. Find another one of the Christians that are at this church. Talk to us. We want to speak with you about your soul. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know Christ and you're a child of God. And once you become a child of God by faith alone, then God changes you. His Spirit lives in you and moves you to live a certain way. And if you're not living that certain way, it's evidence that you never believed Him. You never trusted Him. Because He will change everyone He saves. He will change everyone that He saves and make them lovers of Him and lovers of others. And so we get these evidences that you have believed in Christ. And what are some of these evidences? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Look at verse 10 again. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. We talked about this extensively last week, that those who are born of God, those who are of God, those who know God, they practice righteousness. They turn from sin. They hate their sin and long to be more righteous, more holy. They sing this song and it's a prayer to God. They're worshiping. Oh, great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. I want more of You, Lord. Own it all. I want You to own everything. Own my heart. Own my mind. Conquer every rebel power. There's still rebel power in Joseph Randall's heart that needs to be conquered. And a true Christian wants this. They want this. They see their sin. They see that sin remains. Friend, if you don't think that you have sin remaining in your heart, let me tell you, you do have sin. It's called pride. It's called arrogance. If you are sitting here today and you think, I don't sin anymore, I've been free from sin for the last 5 years. No, you're not. You're proud and arrogant, and God hates pride the most. He was most angry at religious Pharisees who prayed long prayers, lofty prayers, and spoke all eloquently, and they were looked up to as these righteous people. Jesus was the most angry with them, not prostitutes and tax collectors. He's most angry at proud religious people. Proud religious people who are proud about their praying, proud about their preaching, proud about their witnessing, proud about their book reading, proud about their godliness. Oh, Jesus is angry. He's angry about that. Flee to Him. Flee to Him. Flee to Him and confess your pride. Let no vice or sin remain, O God. Let nothing that resists Your holy war remain. You have loved and purchased me. Make me Yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin. Had no ears to hear Your voice. Did not know Your love within. Had no taste for heaven's joys. Before we come to Christ, we taste sin. We love sin. We delight in sin. We had no taste for heaven's joys. Then Your Spirit gave me life. The Spirit of God comes and says, rise from the dead. And you begin to love what you once hated and hate what you once loved. Your Spirit gave me life. Open up Your Word to me through the gospel of Your Son. Gave me endless hope and peace. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on Your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and every deed. Oh, great God of the highest heaven, glorify Your name through me. That's the desire of a child of God. They can't go on living in sin. They hate their sin. They turn from their sin. And they're burdened over it. Friend, if you're burdened over the lack of holiness in your life, you should be one here today who should be most encouraged that you're a child of God. You're burdened over your weaknesses and your failures and the way you don't live up to what God says, and you're crying and weeping and praying and talking to the pastor and talking to friends about you're not measuring up. Be encouraged. You care. You care about holiness. You care about righteousness. You want to be more like Jesus. So be encouraged. Be encouraged that you are a child of God. That is evidence that you are a child of God. You are fighting your sin. You are turning from your sin. And you are longing to live a righteous life. We see another evidence in this verse. Look again at verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. You are not a child of God if you do not love your brother. Often when the Scripture uses the term brother, it's pointing us to the fact that it's other Christians. So, if you don't love your fellow believers, your other brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm trying more and more to use the term brother before I speak of a Christian. Brother Howard came to pray. Sister Phyllis, a brother and sister. I think that's good for us to build into our church language, calling one another brother and sister, reminding one another of what family we belong to and what family is most important. And so you are not of God if you don't love your fellow Christians, especially the ones in this room. You can have all kinds of sweet feelings for Christians in Bangladesh, but guess what? You're never around them. It's really to be real holy. It's easy to be real holy with people you're never around. I'm so holy. I stay in my room all day. I never lose my temper. I never get impatient with anybody. I'm just such a holy guy. But then you start getting around people who are sinners, which is everybody because all of us are sinners, and you begin to see how unholy you are. Right? So God is calling us as a church to love one another at Olney Baptist Church. The people that you see day in and day out, week in and week out, the people that you're around, God is calling us to love one another. If you're not of God if you don't love your brother. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is love. One pastor has described love as the overflow of joy in God that gladly meets the needs of others. I like that definition. Love is the overflow of joy in God that gladly meets the needs of other people. We want to be that for one another in this church. And it's evidence that you are born again if you have love for one another. I want to spend some time thinking about loving one another. There are many one another's in the Bible, in the New Testament. Each other, one another. There are about 59 of them, and I want to talk about some of these. As a definition of what love is, but also to see in these one another's how often we see the command, love one another. And its emphasis that we are to do this for one another. Mark 9:50, be at peace with each other. We should be people at peace with each other. We should strive for peace. Not disunity. Not arguing. Peace. Peace. We should strive for peace with one another. Wash one another's feet, Jesus said in John 13:14. Now some churches take this very literally and they actually physically wash each other's feet. I don't think it's necessary to do that. I think the point there is in Jesus' day, that was a task that was set aside for the lowest of people. Nasty, dirty feet. They walked everywhere. They had sandals. They got real nasty, dirty. And so it was a really dirty job. And we're called to wash each other's feet. We're called to do, make sacrifice. Get dirty for one another. Do the hard thing for one another. Sacrifice to love one another. John 13, three times, love one another, love one another, love one another. John 15, two times, love one another, love one another. Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Romans 12, 10, outdo one another in honor. I love that one, especially for married couples. Outdo one another in honor. No, let me serve you. No, let me serve you. No, 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 I'll get it. No, 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 no. Children, how about that? What if you did that at home? Right? Now the last cookie, I always use this. I got to come up with some new illustrations. The last cookie, right, on the table. You want that cookie. You love that cookie. You're salivating over the joy of that cookie. But three siblings want that cookie. What does it look like to outdo one another in honor? You take the cookie. No, you take the cookie. No, you take the cookie. Huh? See, that children, that's evidence you've been born again. You start acting like that. You see, you're trying to outdo one another in honor. It's not all about me. You're not thinking about me. You're thinking about others. Outdo one another in honor. That's what it means to love. Live in harmony with one another. Love one another, Romans 13. Stop passing judgment on one another. That's in the context of Romans 14, where we have different consciences, different beliefs about certain things in the Christian life, and it gets very dangerous when Christians make their conviction sin or not sin, when it's not clearly spelled out in the Bible. Oh, you must homeschool. If you don't homeschool, then, no, no. Where's that in the Bible? It's great to homeschool. It's good. Teach your children. But you can't make that a law. Oh, vaccines. No, no, you can't do that. That's this. This is all kinds of wars that mainly happen in my friends' churches. Praise God. It's not here. But making a certain conviction you have, sin or not sin, that the Bible does not speak to. Friends, be very careful about telling somebody it's a sin to do something if it's not in this book. Be very careful about telling someone it is a sin to do this, that, or the other that is not in this book. We don't add to this book. We don't add. And we don't take away. And so, Romans 14, the Holy Spirit says, don't pass judgment on one another in these issues that aren't clearly defined in Scripture. Don't pass judgment on one another. Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, instruct one another. Romans 15, 14. Serve one another in love. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Don't envy each other. For why Cain killed Abel. He was jealous. Carry each other's burdens. How can you carry one another's burdens at this church? Do you think about that? Do you pray about that? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be patient. Oh, friends, God has been so patient with you. He has been so patient with you. He has been so patient with me. Be patient with one another. Children, be patient with brothers and sisters. Husbands, be patient with wives. Wives, be patient with husbands. Let's be patient in the church. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In humility, consider others better than yourself. Do you do that regularly? They're better than I am. I consider them better than me. Consider others better than you. Do not lie to each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Yes, yes, part of love is that when we see one another going astray, doing something that God forbids, we come to them in love and say, "This is wrong. I love you, and you're going down a path that leads to destruction. I love you. Please turn. Please come and follow Christ." May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. Pray that prayer that Paul prays for the Thessalonians. May God make our love increase and overflow for one another at Olney Baptist Church. Love each other. Build each other up. Encourage each other daily. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I love it that Michael shared from the pulpit about his opportunity to share the gospel with his neighbor. I hope that spurs you on. Some of you, I've never shared the gospel with my neighbors. Well, I hope that you see this brother sharing the gospel and it spurs you on. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what it means to be a Christian. To share the gospel with your neighbors. We're to spur one another on. To love and good deeds. To be sharing the gospel. Not to be keeping this to ourselves. Friend, there is something spiritually wrong with us if we're not sharing the gospel. Do not slander one another. Don't grumble against each other. Don't grumble against each other. Critical spirit. Always something wrong. Always something wrong. Grumble, complain. When our King says, do everything without grumbling and complaining. D.A. Carson tells a story about a speaker that came to their college. He was in college and this speaker spoke on James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you face various trials. Consider it all joy. And they went back to their Christian fellowship within the college campus and said, we have a lot of criticism and grumbling going on in our fellowship. And we need to combat that. And every time someone grumbles or complains, we're going to respond, count it all joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Count it all joy. And so he tells the story, and of course someone, I got a math test today, it's going to be so hard, I don't know, I wish I didn't have to do this. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Can you believe that girl treated me that way? I've been going out with her for 3 weeks and she did this? Count it all joy, my brothers. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. And they began to do this, and sometimes he said it just poured like pouring salt in a wound. But it focused their eyes on the Lord and on not grumbling and complaining, but on loving one another. And as they began to love one another more deeply as a fellowship, people begin to get saved. They will know we are Christians by our love. Friend, no one is going to come to Christ at this church unless we love each other. Why would anyone want to come here if we're not loving each other, sacrificing for each other? This is proof to the world that we know Christ, that we love each other, that we're not these hypercritical people. Everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. God's not here. Things bad. Bad, 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 bad. Everything's bad. I wouldn't want to be there. I wouldn't want to be there either. Critical, 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 critical. Grumble, 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 grumble. Complain, 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 complain. No, friends, until we die to the pride, that's the root of that. Until we die to the pride, the self-righteousness at the root of that kind of spirit, and love each other, care for each other, encourage each other, God ain't going to save nobody. We need to love each other. Love each other. Encourage each other with the Word. Love each other deeply from the heart. Pray for each other. Confess your sins to each other. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. That's in the Bible. 1 Peter 5:14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And some of you guys are like, okay. No, not so fast. So, in that culture, in that time, that's how they greeted one another. We don't necessarily do that, but you do see that in some cultures, right? On the side, right? We shake hands. We give hugs. We ought to be greeting one another. You shouldn't walk by people without saying hello. This is... Part of me wants to say, that's not even Christian. That's just nice. But we have God in us. We have God in us. We ought to be greeting one another. Hello, how are you? Talking to one another. encouraging one another. Find someone. You who are members here, you ought to be every Sunday. Every Sunday you ought to be thinking, where is the new guy? Where is the person who's never been here before? I'm going to go talk to them. That's how you ought to be if the Holy Spirit's in you. Let me go find the person who no one's speaking to and let me love them. We ought not to be the people, nobody ever talks to me. Why don't they come talk to me? I'm always alone. I'm leaving. No! That's selfish. That's proud. That's self-focused. You ought to be the one, where can I talk to somebody and love somebody? Where can I invite somebody out to lunch this week and get to know them and disciple them and maybe read a book with them about Jesus or talk about the sermon with them? Where's somebody that needs to be loved? I want to love because I'm so joy-filled with God and His love for me that I don't need all this love and affirmation from other people. I'm just filled with God's love and so I can go love other people. You see? An overflow of joy in God that gladly meets the needs of others. We want to be that kind of people in our church and greet people. Hello, how are you? It's so nice to see you. I'm glad that you're here. How can I serve you? You see? 1 John 5 times, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. 2 John 5, love one another. Love one another. And of course, you can't talk about love without 1 Corinthians 13. And every time I preach on love, I read 1 Corinthians 13. It's good to read it over and over again. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, it reminds us that we can do all kinds of stuff and not love. Did you know that? You can sacrifice all kinds of things and it not be loving. You can do all kinds of things, give away all kinds of money, and it not be loving. Love is not less than deeds, but it is more than deeds. Love is not less than sacrifice, but it's more than sacrifice. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I get down with the best of them in my spiritual gifts and speak glossolalia with the best of them. Speak in tongues all you want. Preach great sermons, but have not love, God Almighty says, you are a clanging bell. You're nothing. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. I don't look at what people give. You won't impress me at this church by what you give because I don't look and I don't want to know. You can give away everything, God Almighty says, and not have love, and you gain nothing. You can give your body to be burned. You can die as a martyr. You can die as a martyr and not have love and you gain nothing. I told you that story about David Eubank last week about how he ran into that fire, that gunfire over in Iraq, saving this little six-year-old girl from ISIS killers. And he ran and saved her, being shot at, and he saved this little girl. And he said, I came here to try to help, but I'm afraid I'm doing it because of pride. That is evidence that this man is born again. He knows how the devil works. And he knows that the devil could use, he's doing these great things, giving his life to save this little girl, but he's fearful, it's pride. And he hates pride. He hates it because he knows Jesus. We ought to be fearful of doing things for pride. We ought to be fearful and flee to Jesus and do it for Him. Well, what is love then? What is love? Love is patient. That's the first one. Love is patient. Patient. Are you patient? Are you patient? I don't think we know what patience is compared to God's patience. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is kind. Love is kind. Love does not envy. or boast. We're not comparing one another. We don't compare one another's gifts. We don't compare what one another has. We don't compare one another in any way. Love does not compare. It doesn't boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Love is not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. Love does not insist on its own way. I think I could boil down most of the marriage counseling I do to that verse. It doesn't, just don't insist on your own way. You don't insist on your own way, and you don't insist on your own way. Die. Die like Jesus died. Suffer like Jesus died for her. Die like Jesus died for him. Die to self. Die to your desires. Die to your own way and serve the other. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. Love never ends. And we're going to stop there today. So we'll come back to these verses next week and think about them some more. But love never ends. And this passage talks about hating your brother. This passage talks about loving your brother and sister in Christ. Friend, we must always remember our Jesus. Remember Him. Remember Christ, the beautiful one, the holy one, the one who always and only loved perfectly and loved righteously and cared for God's people and loved His enemies perfectly and righteously with holiness. And yet He was hated. He was hated. He was hated by sinners who rejected Him. And He hung on that cross. And He suffered the wrath and the curse and the judgment of God. You want to see love? Friends, look to the cross. Look to the cross where Jesus is hanging there. Hanging there, being spit upon and mocked and beaten and laughed at. And He's praying. He's praying as He endures the wrath of God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's praying for His enemies. Amazing. He dies. He dies that horrible death, and then He rises from the dead, and he pours out His Spirit on us. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us such that we can then love our enemies like He did. And so you can tell me all kinds of stories about how bad this person is to you, or how bad that person is to you, how bad your husband is to you, how bad your wife is to you, how bad your children treat you. And I'm just going to say, Jesus said, love your enemies. Is He your enemy? Is she your enemy? Does she hate you? Jesus says, love them. Love your enemy. Love them. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. Love them. Love them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is good news. That is good news. The Christ child practiced all that's right. He loved His brothers out of sight, like no one else He loved. Though they murdered and would fight, yet on that cross He'd take their fright, the fright of God's wrath and anger toward rebellious sinners. Jesus took that on Himself, and then He passed from death to life with might. And His love is our never-ending light. And so let's pray. Let's pray that the Spirit would come upon us and show us our lack of love. And if you're here this morning and you are wondering if you're a Christian, well, this passage gives encouragement that if you love the brothers, you're a Christian. If you love Christians, be encouraged this morning. There was a woman who was depressed and she was sure that she's not a believer. And nothing the pastor said, nothing she read, nothing would give her assurance that she was one of God's children. And then she came to this passage and she read that a Christian is someone who loves other Christians. And she's like, I do. I love other believers. I love it when Miss McKelton says, I love you. Are you comfortable when people tell you that you love them and they love you and you're not family? you're not biological family. I love you. I love you, Anthony. I love you. You feel comfortable doing that? We ought to be comfortable doing that. And if you love the brothers, what do I have in common with Anthony? Jesus. The most important thing. We ought to love each other. And if you love each other, be encouraged. You're born again. If you love the brothers. And this woman, nothing brought her out of this depression. But she realized, I love other Christians. And she, that it all went away. All the doubt, all the anxiety, all the depression, all the worry went away. Because she realized she loves the brethren. She loves other believers. And that's evidence that she's born again. So if you struggle with that, I don't know what God is going to do to bring you out of it. But that's what He brought this woman out of it with, this passage. If you love other believers, you're born of God. So be encouraged. And pray. Pray that we as Awny Baptist Church would grow in our love for one another. That we would grow in our love for one another. Maybe we ought to do what D.A. Carson's college group did. The next time you hear a complaint, the next time you hear a grumble, count it all joy, my brother and sister. For when you endure trials, it builds your patience and your perseverance. Count it all joy, my brother. So let's pray that God would make us a loving people. Father, we know that we love because You first loved us. And God, we want to grow in our love for one another. And so, Father, we pray that You would help us at Awny Baptist Church to love one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another. Father, to do everything without grumbling and complaining. God, to speak kindness to each other, tenderness to each other. Father, we pray we will be on the lookout to love other people at this church, that we would open our homes to people, we would practice hospitality with one another. Lord, that we would be busy about loving our lost neighbors by telling them about Jesus. That we would be busy seeking someone in this church that we can disciple and help grow in Christ's likeness. Father, that we would not be a people who meet here on Sunday and have nothing to do with the people of God until next Sunday. Father, please make us a loving, humble people. Make me a loving and humble pastor. Fill us, God, with Your love, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.